Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you until 1 o'clock. Murph and Andy at that time. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 until 6. Rob Doster from the Field of 68. He will join us here in just a couple of minutes. Look forward to catching up with Doster. Do you know where he is for this weekend? Do you know where they headed?
I'm not positive where he's going to be. I would anticipate Boston, being a guy from Connecticut. Yeah, that would probably make the most sense. Mm-hmm. But we'll get him in a minute or two and
find out.
Did
you see where they spent last weekend, the opening weekend of the tournament? Mandalay Bay.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure that's where they were.
That's a good place to be.
They were in Las Vegas. Well, not as good as Circa, but Mandalay Bay is fun. Opposite end of the strip, obviously. It's fun there. South end of the strip, Mandalay Bay, used to be really good. Really good. By the way, Circa, for the second straight year, and yes, we have a great relationship with Circa. They're our primary sponsor, that full disclosure. Mm-hmm. But the way that they cut the ribbon for Major League Baseball opening day, they just bring in a Hall of Famer, Greg Maddux, and they actually build a pitcher's mound and a home plate and let the Hall of Famer throw out the first pitch of the season. Pretty cool, huh?
Yes, it is. Greg Maddux, and he likes to play a little poker, too, it sounds like.
He does.
Yeah.
And golf.
And golf.
And whatever else he wants to do. I mean, a guy never worked, as most of them, right?
The professor.
The professor. God, he was good. And to think that he was here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? He was in Des Moines. I wasn't here then. I wish I would have been for a number of reasons. Just to be able to, you know, buy a ticket at the time, Sec Taylor, and go down and see some of the greats that made their way through. And the next great group of greats, they'll start making their way through. When's opening day locally? It is next Tuesday. So this Tuesday the 2nd, the iCubs open their regular season. The Mudhens of Toledo make, I got to believe, their only appearance in Des Moines. No, they've got two. But opening day for the homestanding iCubs. See that next group of Chicago Cubs and Major League players come through. Opening day is Tuesday. Let's get Rob Doster in here. Field of 68. Did you spend the weekend, opening weekend of the tournament at the Mandalay Bay? Is that where you were last week, Rob Doster?
I was at the Mandalay Bay. I was at the Aria. I was at the BetMGM, a couple of their other properties. I was all over the place, man. I watched a lot of games in Mandalay Bay. I did a lot of my gambling in the Aria. I won about $1,500.
Nice.
I'm feeling pretty good.
That's good.
Pretty good about myself. I did the first 2 days. So here's what I did.
Yeah.
First 2 days, I bet the money line for every single underdog that played in the NCAA tournament. And I ended up winning like $1,400 or something like that. And then on Saturday,
that was the favorites.
We went out the night before and we saw Alesso perform at one of the clubs down there. Mm-hmm. Where a friend of mine was able to get us in, and so we woke up, like, I was a little tired when we woke up. Hmm. We got to the show, we did our pregame show, and then by the time the game started, I realized, like, hey, you know what? I forgot to put all those bets in.
No.
I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not going to do it today. Because I missed one. And then that entire day,
favorites.
Every single favorite won. So I was like, you know what? I might have dodged a bullet right there.
You're living well.
Great decision.
So, and the Mandalay, the shops at Mandalay Bay, one of my favorite haunts in Las Vegas is the Irish Bar Re-Raw. Did you swing by Re-Raw?
I did. They have delicious wings.
Don't they? Aren't they great? Oh, I'm a big fan.
Re-Raw's wings. And like the nacho platter from this place called Flankers.
Not been there.
Those are what we did. They didn't have the place at the sports book. You can't order food from it. They only have drinks.
Yeah.
So you have to go grab to go food from all these different places.
Yeah.
And since we were doing like 14 straight hours there, we had two different meals on four straight days in the sports book to go food. So Re-Raw, Flankers, both of those are really good. There was a Wolfgang Puck restaurant that was right in the corner that was really good too. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed my time, and it probably had a lot to do with the fact that I
you won
money there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, where are you going to be tonight? Are you headed to one of the sites?
I am currently sitting in a hotel looking at the TD Garden.
Trent was right.
In Boston. It is 35 degrees. It is raining. This rain, I have no idea how this is snow or ice or freezing rain because it's cold out. It is, let's just say the weather here is a little bit different than it was when I was in Las Vegas.
No doubt about it. You get to see Iowa State. We'll get to that game in a moment, but there is a freight train, and it is the Connecticut Huskies again this year. 8 consecutive wallopings in the NCAA tournament. Is it just going to take, you know, a 4-of-23 shooting night from them from behind the arc? Is that the only way to slow down UConn at this point?
No, so I think that there are there's three things that you have to be able to do to beat UConn. And I think San Diego State is actually capable of doing a couple of them. One is you have to get the big fellow in foul trouble. You got to get Donovan Klingon off the court. And there was a point in the middle of the year where he really, really struggled with fouls. I think he's now at 9 straight games where he hasn't had more than 3 fouls in a game. You got to get him off the floor. Jaden D draws almost 8 fouls a game for 40 minutes, and he is a guy that, in theory, should be able to get Klingon to foul trouble because he could shoot it a little bit. He could pull Klingon away from the basket. The second thing you have to do is you got to blow up the stuff that they run. You can't let them run their offense. If you let them run their sets and get the shots they want, you have no chance at all. And the thing about this San Diego State team is they're not as good defensively as they were last year. They still got a bunch of tough, physical, switchable, old guys that are going to be able to do some things defensively to cause some problems. So those two things both make a lot of sense. And the third thing is you have to have an outlier offensive performance, because even if you do all of that stuff, you still know that you're going to have to probably get to 70 or 75 points to be able to have a chance to win this game, because UConn is going to be able to score. If you look at what Kansas did when they won, they were 9 for 14 from 3, right? You look at what Creighton did when they won, I think it was 15 for 29 from 3. So you gotta make shots from the perimeter. You got to take them out of what they want to run, and you got to get the big fella in foul trouble. And that's a lot to ask to take down a team that is as good as UConn is. So I think San Diego State is kind of built to do it. I just don't know if they necessarily have the talent to be able to pull it off.
Rob Dosterfield of 68 is our guest. Rob, who's the first one seed to go home?
I don't think it happens tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
I think it'll happen. If it does, it'll happen in the Elite Eight. I think that Houston has the toughest matchup in the second round, or in the Sweet 16, right? I don't think they have the horses to be able to run with Purdue the way that Purdue has been playing. And I think North Carolina and Alabama, that's just a tough matchup for Alabama. So I would tend to lean towards North Carolina there. And then UConn, that's the biggest spread of the weekend, right? So I don't think you should be betting on UConn to lose to San Diego State. But Houston is the one that seems the most vulnerable in the Elite Eight, and that's because I do think Duke has enough talent to kind of counteract the defensive toughness that we see out of a team like Houston.
So you're in a little bit of a heater here. I'm starting to fall more and more in love with Clemson against Arizona. You seen it the same way, this Arizona team, Tommy Lloyd, hasn't been great in the NCAA tournament. What are you seeing there in a potential, not just them keeping it within the number? Can Clemson win this game?
Yeah, I do think that they can win. I am not quite on the bandwagon of saying that they will win. I think that the side you want to be on is Clemson plus 7.5. But, look, they have the advantage inside with Ian Sheflin and PJ Hall. They have the better front court. I mean, you can make the argument that they have the more trustworthy backcourt. I don't know if he's necessarily more talented, but I would be more willing to bet on the likes of Chase Hunter and Joe Girard having a 7 out of 10 game than I would betting on the backcourt of Caleb Love and Kylan Boswell to have a 7 out of 10 game. Like, those two guys they're either a 10 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10. You don't just have a normal night from those two. So I certainly think that Clemson can do it. They're tough. They're old. They're physical. They looked like the best team in the ACC for a while this season, and that included North Carolina and Duke. They've gone on the road and they've beaten Alabama. Like, this is a really, really good basketball team, and I would not be surprised at all if they were able to knock off Arizona. I'm taking a point. Mm-hmm. But I would not be shocked if them went outright.
All right, Illinois Iowa State coming up. Just before that, the Naismith Men's Coach of the Year. Who finishes second to T.J. Otzelberger?
For Big 12 Coach of the Year?
No. Overall, Naismith's Coach of the Year. Hurley, Paris, Sampson. All right, who do you like? I tried to lead you down the T.J. will win path. No. Who do you like?
Look, T.J.'s been fantastic. this year, right? And I don't really have anything to say against him. Like, there's no argument that he shouldn't be National Coach of the Year, if that makes sense. There are arguments there are guys that might be above him. But what he's done to be able to continue to build this roster and build this program in a way that we've never really seen, like, a T.J. Altenberger team play before is just it's incredible, really. Like, I don't think anybody had them this good. I don't think anybody had them as a tournament team heading into the season. I don't know if anybody had them as a team that were finishing, like, their top 10 in the Big 12, and here they are finishing second. I would probably have him third right now behind Samson and Hurley. I mean, look, Samson lost two first-round picks. Went from the American to the Big 12, put up a 32-3, 31-4, something like that, and won the Big 12 regular season title. Won the regular season title outright in the toughest league in college basketball, and did it in his first year in that league. That is just that is absurd. That's unheard of what he did. And then Hurley losing three guys, right, and really only replacing them with one transfer. Rebuilding how he runs this program to the point, or how he runs the team to the point where they are probably better than they were last year, and now the favorite to go back to back as national champions, despite the fact that they lost a lottery pick, they lost the number 34 pick in the draft, and they lost the guy who was actually their best player that's now playing. I think he's on a two-way now with the Bulls. So, to me, it's one of Hurley or Samson, and it just kind of depends on how I'm feeling that day, but. I don't think you can go wrong with either of those two. And TJ's been awesome, but I think that those two have had more impressive seasons.
Yeah, it's not unfair what you just said by Mint.
The goofy season is here. We got the transfer portal coupled with what's happening, obviously, in the coaching carousel. What's going to happen to Iowa State's Big Ten brethren down at Oklahoma State? A very proud program that's had a lot of success. Didn't work for Boynton there. Oh, boy. I think it's juicy. I hope Steve Alford ends up there, so it'll be easy to root against him.
Is he in the hunt?
He's in the hunt. What are you hearing about Oklahoma State?
Man, like, the Oklahoma State job it's one of those ones. It was kind of like Louisville, where you'd hear a name pop up, and then, like, 6 hours later, you hear another name pop up, and then 6 hours later, you hear another name pop up. And it's just one of those ones where I don't even know what to believe. You know, if you're going to make the decision to move on from a coach, I think that you have to be able to have some kind of plan in place to be able to know what that replacement is going to end up being. Like, let's just take Washington, for example, right? Washington, when they made the decision to move on from Mike Hopkins, everybody kind of knew what that end result was going to end up being. It wasn't really a secret in coaching circles that they were going to go get Danny Sprinkle, and that was something that was more or less done, right? I think when you look at a situation like what happened with Vanderbilt, you know, like, everyone kind of knew, like, they're going to end up with one of with Mark Byington or Pat Kelly. Like, you kind of knew who it was going to end up being. You had to wait for the dominoes to fall, but as soon as James Madison's season's over, boom, you know that you have Mark Byington coming in. With Oklahoma State, it just, I don't know what they do. You know, it feels like that's a difficult job in terms of you don't have like this massive fan base coming in. You don't have a ton of NIL. It's not like you have this massive recruiting base. You're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right? What used to be a ridiculous home court advantage is now, like, do people still go to Oklahoma State games? You know, like, I feel like I watch them on TV, and there's as many people on the ESPN crew as there are actually showing up to instill water to root on the Cowboys. So I don't know where they're going to go. I think if I'm them, get creative, right? Like, go out. Don't worry about getting a great recruiter. Like, go out and get you someone that can evaluate in the portal and that can coach the guys up. Like, why wouldn't you go after someone like Josh Church?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, someone that is going to maybe play a little bit of a different style, that is going to be able to have the opportunity to maybe bring some of these guys with them from Indiana State that have proven to be pretty good. And that has shown he can evaluate who would fit well into the style that he wants to play and the talent level that he would be looking for, the job that he's at. He's won everywhere he's been. Like, why? I don't think you have to. I'm not always one of these people that subscribes to the idea that you have to go out and get the splashy name. Go out and get the one that you think is going to have the best chance to work. And I think Josh Hurts would make a lot of sense.
Last thing for me, Rob Doster, Field of 68. What are you going to see in the nightcap tonight at TD? The Garden, Illinois, Big Ten tournament champion, Iowa State, Big 12 tournament champion, defense versus offense, can't wait. What are you going to see?
This is just such a fantastic contrast of styles, right? Like, I don't think you could pick two teams that play more differently than these two. And I mean, that's obvious when you say you got the best offense on KenPom against the best defense on KenPom, right? But Iowa State's defense is kind of built on this idea where, like, you're going to force baseline and no middle, and you're going to be able to help, and you're going to have all these tough physical guys that are going to make the proper rotations. And what Illinois wants to do offensively is just kind of like, all right, we're going to go one-on-one. We're going to take turns, and we're going to pick out, like, I think Marcus Domask on this possession can take this guy. So let's put him in the post and let him go try to make a play with four shooters around him. And on this possession, we got Terrence Shannon being guarded by someone that's about 4 inches smaller than him. So let's get out of the way and try to get away for him to get downhill to his left hand and finish, right? Or, you know, Dane Danger's out there and they don't have Robert Jones. Let's just throw it to Dane Danger in the post and let him go one-on-one. Like, all they do is go one-on-one and try to find the matches they can win. They've been very, very, very good at it. And it's the complete opposite with what Iowa State wants to do, especially on the defensive end. So at the end of the day, I do think that Illinois ends up winning this game. I think that the talent level just kind of plays out and allows them to – no one has an answer for Terrence. He's the second-best player in college basketball.
Yep. Right
now. No one has an answer for him, but, I mean, that's why they play the games, right?
Going to be a blast. Rob Doster. Rob, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Appreciate you coming on, as always. Field of 68. Field of 68 for Doster and all his team over there. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
Always. Hey, when's spring going to be here, guys?
We're waiting.
We've missed it.
In Boston. I was lied to. Yeah.
No, I think you missed it. It's, brutal. Thanks, buddy. Good to talk to you. See ya. Rob Doster. On a heater.
Yes.
But forgot to put his bets in for Saturday. That worked out well.
It happens from time to time, right?
Oh,
not
man.
Too shabby.
No, that's for sure.
I've had those opportunities. Well, I told you, it was great for me to be out of the state on Saturday. I would have got absolutely throttled mm-hmm. on Saturday.
But the darn app wouldn't work.
Nope, it does not work inside of the borders of Oklahoma, as I was standing next to the tallest hill in the world.
Were you?
Yes.
In Oklahoma.
In Poto, Oklahoma. Because once you get a certain threshold,
yeah.
it's considered a mountain. It's just below that, so it is the highest hill in the world.
You know what blew me away in Oklahoma was the red clay.
Oh, it's a real
It's
thing.
Red clay.
Yes, yeah.
I'd never seen it before.
Very difficult to get a whole lot of farming done in that kind of
area. Yeah, I bet, right? I bet. All right, 25 after noon, we'll take a timeout. Why don't we head back to Boston?
Let's do it.
Justin Miller
standing by. He is enjoying his time in Beantown.
And good for him,
yes.
right? And he had some time before the press availabilities, Fenway Pack. Where were they performing last night, Justin and Williams and the crew?
I don't know.
Chris was doing his utmost to get Justin to miss his morning rush appearance this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Going to try and get the young man a little schnockered to last night.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, and the good news is he's in the Eastern time zone, so he gets that extra hour,
that's
right?
That's not bad, yeah.
Justin joins us next. Trent's Plays of the Day, Circus Sports sponsor those. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Just past 12:30. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. About 10 hours from now, the ball will be in the air. Well, 9. Oh, boy. Let's head to Boston, shall we? Catch up with our buddy, our colleague, Justin Miller, KASI. That's where he's the sports director. He's part of the Morning Rush. He does Ames, Little Cyclones play-by-play, and he's in Boston for the Sweet 16. You lucky duck. How are you, Justin Miller?
I'm living another dream. I feel like I've said that constantly throughout these past 3 weeks, but I'm extremely grateful and lucky to be here covering this awesome event.
No, it's really cool. I'm glad you're doing it, and happy for your success this early in your career. Keep it going. So, obviously, we want Iowa State to keep it going. We'll get to that in just a second, but let's catch up with Boston. You had some time off before the press conferences yesterday. I saw that you were at Fenway Pack taking a tour there. Pretty special ballpark, isn't it?
It was really cool. So, yeah, they do these Fenway Park tours for like $20. And so had some time to kill. I've never been to Fenway. Went, looked at it. It's a lot smaller than I, like, on TV it looks huge. And, yeah, it only seats, like, 37,000. Was able to go on top of the Big Green Monster.
Nice.
See the press box area. Of course, hear the story about the singular red chair and the left outfield.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool. I mean, just as a baseball fan, a sports fan, that's something that everyone should do if they're ever in Boston. I'd recommend it to anyone. It's no Wrigley, but it's cool.
No, it is cool. Did you get, do they, is it part of the tour, they take you underneath the monster inside the scoreboard or no?
No, they don't take anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty tight quarters, I would guess. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Are you tight quarters, though, those wooden chairs?
They're you can't be very big.
Goodness.
You know, when they built the ballpark, I think that the people weren't as big as they are today, quite honestly. Did you get to Union Oyster House by chance? Yeah, I think it's the oldest bar in Boston or one of them. It's in the old part, the cobblestone. It's so cool. I mean, it dates back into the 1600s.
A lot of people tell me to.
Yeah, you should. If you can. I know you got a lot of people preaching at you. You got to do this, got to do that, but it's so cool. All right, you're there for business. Are you ready, Trent, to go?
Yes, let's get into the business.
I'm ready.
You've had the opportunity, Justin, to talk to not just TJ, but the players. They're in a Sweet 16. They're making a run here. What's the mood? What's the tenor been as you've had an opportunity to get to know these guys throughout the course of the year and where they are today compared to through the rest of the season?
Man, they've been loose all season long, but you would think, stepping onto TD Garden's court where you see all these names and championship banners and you're seeing Sweet 16 and Elite 8 written on the middle of the court, that you might be a little nervous. Walking into that locker room, everybody was just laughing. They seemed loose. They were messing with each other. I posted a video on Twitter. I was talking with Taman Lipsy, and Keyshawn Gilbert comes over and kind of messes with them in between the interview. And I even asked Lipsy, like, man, you guys seem really nervous for this. And he's like, we've just been the same way we've been all season long, just enjoying the ride, taking all of this in. Lipsy had never been to the northeast part of America, so he's enjoying Boston and all the players. I think when you have a team connected like that, it just brings special things will come from it.
Yeah, my favorite part of the locker room interviews, I don't know who captured the audio, but somebody asked Keyshawn Gilbert about playing in the TD Bank Garden, and he didn't know the Celtics played there. I mean, he's that loose. He had no idea that the building they're playing in here tonight, this is where the Celtics, now it's not the old garden, but all the banners are still there, but had no idea that that's where the Celtics play.
Yeah, that was Jake Bren from Channel 5, and I was right behind him because I was interviewing Lipsy at the time, but I heard it, and I asked him about it later, and he showed me the video clip before he posted it, and it's so funny, just him sitting there, he's like, the Celtics play here? Oh, I didn't know that. And you see him bright, get super bright about it. And, it was cool to see the players kind of give him crap for that. But it's cool seeing that connection. And on top of that, you walk out of that locker room, and while the media is interviewing guys like Lipsy, Rob Jones, Keyshawn, Milan, for obvious reasons, you turn a corner, and there's Hassan Ward with an assistant coach on his laptop, looking up how they're going to try to take down Illinois, constantly working, constantly talking through things, because Illinois is a top team in offensive rebounding. So Ward, Jones, King, those guys are going to have their hands full.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt about it. And physical on both sides. Team not very good defensively. That's been the knock against Illinois throughout the course of the season. What do you anticipate? We've talked so much about Illinois' offense against Iowa State's defense. Let's go the other way. What you anticipate for the Cyclones on the offensive end of the floor against this Illinois D?
Well, so what Iowa State needs to do, and what we've seen them do really successfully from Kansas City to now, is that offense where you get Gilbert and Lipsy driving into the paint and kicking it out. That just makes the whole offense move smoother. You have more off-ball movement, and then it just gets more guys involved. When Iowa State struggles to do that, that's when you start to see the stagnant offense. You start seeing kind of too many ISOs where Gilbert's trying to make a play out of nothing. Milan is more than likely usually struggling with that left ball movement action because he benefits greatly from that kick and pop. So that's what Iowa State needs to do. And then if you're Illinois, you're trying to prevent that. And with the length they have and the size advantage that they have, that could be a real factor in tonight's game. But as we know, Illinois is not a great defensive team. So this one's going to be so fun. I don't know what to expect tonight.
Well, I hope that they I mean, Washington against going back to the Washington State game, and you were there. I mean, they struggled. They didn't score, I don't think, in the first 5 minutes, did they, Justin? But still came back and won the basketball game and did so, you know, convincingly. You want to get on the board clearly earlier than that. I contend if Manchilovich comes out and makes his first three-point attempt, it's seemingly, you know, him that's got the first opportunity to take that three. If it goes down, this is an entirely different game. It seems like they feed off him when he's, you know, or whoever makes that first shot. If it goes, then the team kind of gets going.
Yeah, I said this to Sean in Kansas City, that this team, when Milan is hitting his shot consistently and has the confidence, that brings this team to a Final Four contender. When he's struggling, it's a team that could get bounced in the second round. Now we've seen him be really consistent, and no one can look at that Big 12 championship game and not say that that team, when it's clicking on all cylinders, can't make it to the national championship. But right now, it really comes down to, can they get started quick? Because against Washington State, like you guys said, they started off slow, and Washington State was still only able to put up like 9 points. Yeah. Well, Illinois aren't the Cougars. They're going to put up 15, 20 points if Iowa State struggles.
Excellent point.
Damarian Watson, he's been back out there after the concussions, played well in both, I thought, NCAA tournament teams. Not in terms of scoring, he didn't score, but he just goes in there, knows his role so well. Any concerns at all of him still making his way through that concussion, or is it all just all systems go after what we saw the first two times out?
I mean, from what we've heard from Coach, it sounds like everyone's healthy, because I know some people were worried about Lipsy's shoulder, some people worried about Hassan Ward, who went down in that South Dakota State game early on. So from what we've heard, everyone's cleared and should be good to go. I think the depth for Iowa State's going to benefit them greatly tonight, because you have Curtis Jones, who's been on fire since January.
Yep.
Hassan Ward is coming off of a 10-point game against South Dakota State, had another good game against Washington State. But in the last two games, the bench for Iowa State has scored over 40 points combined.
We know how Iowa State fans travel, but it's asking a lot to do, you know, Kansas City 2 weeks, and then you had Omaha, and now making your way out to Boston. Have you seen much Cardinal and Gold in your various stops throughout the night last night?
Last night didn't see much. Definitely didn't see a whole lot the day before. Today we're starting to see more.
Yeah.
Today you're starting to see them flood in. But, of course, it's nothing like Omaha and Kansas City. You're asking a lot for Cyclone fans.
Yep.
It's probably a problem they like to have, to be like, man, I got to figure out how to take off work to try to go to the Sweet 16. That's probably a good problem if you're a Cyclone fan.
No doubt about it. Now, have you, you're a nice guy, Justin. You're very soft, mild-mannered guy. Have you run into those loudmouth UConn fans and just the people in general from the Northeast? Any interactions yet with that fan base?
I'll tell you this. I would not fit in driving in Boston. I would get honked at constantly. I mean, people just honk constantly. They're cutting each other off. No turning signal. I don't think I've seen a single turning signal be used on my entire time. People are walking in the middle of the street. They're honking at them because how dare you walk in the street when there's a walking sign? So I would not fit in. I would get destroyed in Boston.
Over under lobster rolls on your trip. Trent put it at 2.5.
Yeah.
Over under, have you had one yet? You had to have sampled a lobster roll, right? You're in Boston.
First night.
Atta
first
boy.
Night I had a lobster roll. Because, again, if Iowa State loses, I'm probably heading back Friday night or Saturday morning. So that's why I wanted to get the Fenway stuff done. I wanted to have a lobster roll. Wanted to do the stuff that I really, really was looking forward to outside of just the game, in case they lose. So I had a lobster roll right away.
Well, you'll be covering the practice tomorrow. How about that? Let's end this on a positive note as they'll get set to take on, hell, San Diego State. How about that, Trent?
You got it, huh?
We'll see. Justin, thanks for popping on. Appreciate it. Way to go. Glad you're there. Next weekend, hell, you may be traveling again or you finally may get a weekend off. Justin Miller, KASI and KXNO. Justin, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate
Good
it.
Good to talk to you. Justin Miller, as we catch up with our buddy in Boston, and he is truly as nice a person
yes.
you're going to find, as mild-mannered as you're going to find in the state of Iowa.
Good dude.
I'm guessing he's never not used his turn signal.
Right.
Right? He's yes. that kind of guy.
And if he ever would forget, he would apologize yes. vehemently.
Right. Oh, that's good. Good for him. And getting that experience of doing this for the first time. Quite a thrill. Trent's plays of the day. He's done that a time or two. He'll make more.
I got 10 of them today.
You do?
We're a little aggressive.
There's only four games. Oh, there's baseball.
There's
of course
baseball.
You're playing opening day.
Oh, yes, we are.
Singing the anthem, right?
Uh-huh.
Those are next. Miller and Condon. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
A little more Ice Cube for you.
Can't get enough Ice Cube,
I know.
Trent.
Long
it's all I've it. Been listening to since this whole thing.
This was a publicity stunt, right?
For Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see Barstool? By the way, this Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
Who I had no idea really what they were. I love the fact that he goes to those mom-and-pop pizza joints and just promotes the hell out of them and his millions of followers.
I wish he was just a better person.
I don't know much about him, but yeah. I have heard that part. But I think he's trying to become that.
Mm,
no?
No.
But I do like that part. I've watched those pizza reviews faithfully.
Do you?
Yes.
Pizza good. Some of the... Well, other things.
Yeah,
so
no,
good.
I've read some of the stuff, yeah. But anyways, let's get to your picks. The audience hopes that they're good. You've had a history of being good when it comes to college basketball, but you're running out of games.
I'm running out of games, so let's start right there with basketball. I told you earlier, I love Clemson in this spot. I am going to have, at minimum, a half unit, maybe even a full unit on Clemson on the money line. On the money line. So grab the 7.5. That's an automatic here. Seeing what the best money line is there right now. Circa's at plus 245, 235 at Bet Rivers. So yeah, your Circa 245 is the best one. We'll add that to portfolio right now as we're talking and throw that in there and make that part of the pick. So Clemson plus 7.5 and a little bit on them on the money line plus the 250. Let's go next. UConn first half, lay the 6. Little extra juice, minus 115 on that one, but we'll lay it in the first half against San Diego State. I'm all about Carolina tonight. Minus the 4 against Alabama. I think they cruise past them, and I'm going to take an over team total for the Tar Heels, over 89.5 against that hideous Alabama defense. Give me the Iowa State Cyclones. Now, I got the wrong number. I laid the 2.
What is it now?
It's 1.5.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Now, it won't be a loss. That wouldn't be a difference that it would make, but it could be
right.
a push.
Yeah, could.
As Iowa State gets out of there with a 77-75 win, we'll be just getting that money back in the count. Let's make it a 3-point win or better. Minus the 2 for me. For Iowa State, you can get a better number than that on the Clones. And then over to a little bit of baseball. This afternoon, a couple of 3:10 first pitch. Give me the Tampa Bay Rays.
Against the Jays? You out of your mind?
Well, it's Jose Berríos. I've seen.
Yeah.
Formerly known as J.O. Berríos. Plenty of times I'm happy to fade him. Give me my Twins, minus 115. Also going to play a first 5 under in the Twins-Royals game. Low-scoring affair in Kauffman coming up this afternoon. Under 4 for the first 5 innings. I like the Nationals plus the 130. The Nats are a team that made me a lot of money last August and into September.
They were good down the stretch.
And it'll be great on the bump for them against Frankie Montas against the Cincinnati Reds. And I'm grabbing a little bit on the Cubs. Got them plus 105 at Circa. You cannot find plus numbers anywhere on the Cubs on the money line except at Circa Sports. We talk about this a lot in golf. If you are a baseball bettor, you have to download the Circa app. What you will see in money line pricing is significant. We're talking a dime, sometimes 15, 20% difference between the money lines that you'll get at Circa and many of the other big shops.
Yeah, you'll make up that sign-up bonus that Circa doesn't have you very quickly if you're on the right, if you're on the winning end of a couple of your wagers. Well, can't wait. Baseball throughout the afternoon, little basketball tonight, maybe a touch or two of my Jets getting beat by the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh.
You're off to Clinton to Wild Rose?
Yes, Wild Rose for our Eastern Iowa listeners. Going to be over there. I'll be doing the show from there as we have the champions dinner, and a former champion's not going to make the trek, huh?
No, he's too old.
Too old. It's going to be a fun one tonight.
Let me
Iowa State late night. You'll be hearing bleary eyes tomorrow morning come 11 a.m.
That's for sure. You have fun. Safe trip. Talk to you tomorrow. Murph and Andy next. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 to 6. Miller and Condon, 11 to 1. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.